We're way past big speech time. I want to thank you for the last few months. It's been very special for me. Anybody have anything they want to say?
Yeah. Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Okay. I want to win for my dad.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Thank you.
With God of Heaven, it is all one. To deliver with a great multitude or a small company. For the victory of battle standeth not in the multitude of hosts, but strength cometh from heaven.
And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it. And it struck the Philistine on the head, and he fell to the ground. Amen. Amen.
SBC, welcome to another week of the Hoolies Hoolie. That's a good opener there. That was Hoosiers, the final scene there. It is March Madness. It is upon us.
Yeah,
The other things in the news media this week, that's kind of my favorite thing to be talking about. I'm here with Bill Houlihan and Clay O'Brien.
What's happening?
Co-host. Hi, gentlemen. St. Patrick's Day is over. Looking forward to the St. Patrick's Day holiday season has come to an end.
It's done, man.
It'll linger for a couple more days. But
it's Easter season now, man.
It's March Madness. It's Easter season.
March Madness.
And it's full election season as well. It's finally, you know.
Well, it was here in Chicago last week. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't know. The media, it's every story everywhere.
It is.
It's every commercial. It's your life.
Yeah, it is. It's consuming me.
That's why you need to just forget all about it. Sit down. Watch Hoosiers. Watch some March Madness and just get lost in that.
You know
what
you do? You wake up on a Saturday morning, you have some McCann's Irish oatmeal.
Oh, even better.
Maybe, and then, you know, some orange juice with it, whatever, and
chocolate milk.
And then, you know, place your bets and go watch the game somewhere.
That's the nice thing. It's just relentless basketball. It's just one after another after another.
Well, I think that's so.
I think it's the most exciting thing in all of sports.
I loved it.
One of the most exciting events.
It's a good time, and it's a good time if you're a fan of basketball and you love watching the sport. It's also a great time if you're a guy who just loves action. There's action all day long.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, there is. Other thing, do you have any favorite picks?
Favorite picks?
I don't. I don't even know who I have yet. I'm in a pool where it was $20 to get in, and it's a survivor pool. So if it doesn't really matter what seed you get in the tournament, because what happens is your team has to cover the spread.
Mm-hmm.
So if the other team that, you know, if the team that's playing against your team is favored and they don't cover the spread,
yeah, I like that.
You inherit that team for the next round.
Yeah, that's gotcha. Fun.
So it makes it a very, very interesting. So you can have a dog, and then all
so
of a sudden,
so the luckiest guy really does win.
The luckiest guy really does win.
You got to go on a streak.
Yeah.
Our school's not in it.
No, Marquette University this year.
They'll be back. Wojo, he'll get him going again.
Yeah, a couple years.
He's got a couple good freshmen coming in. I know he had a good recruiting class. He had a couple big friends. He's got a big center, I think.
Yeah.
They'll be good next year.
I'm a little school guy. You know, when my school's not in it, then I go for the little guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to big upsets. I love that.
Yeah. I'm not trying to knock Buzz Williams, but when he left abruptly, it really kind of
Buzz Williams, the former coach of Marquette University.
Yeah, it threw a wrench in the program, and there was some stuff going on. So, I mean, you got to give it to Wojciechowski for bringing it back. And they knew it was going to be a 2 or 3 year process. And next year, I think they're going to be competitive. So,
yeah, he kind of walked out just real quick. And
well, there was allegations, and there was an investigation going on to some illegal recruiting. And as soon as he got wind of that the NCAA was sniffing around, He bounced.
Yeah.
Hey, and went to Virginia Tech. If you're going to recruit illegally, win some games.
I don't think maybe. Who knows?
It's like I don't know. I mean, we don't even know what the specifications are. I can't remember.
Did you take money?
Tony,
did you?
Tony, did you take money?
Did you take money?
Buzz. Yeah. That was Anthony Hardaway's famous character in Blue Chips.
Fantastic film.
And,
Blue Chips is a fantastic film.
They shot
awesome.
It was when it came out. I loved it.
One of the campiest movies about college basketball ever. JT Walsh, Irish American, is great as the
He's the head donor.
He's the booster.
Yeah, he's a big booster. Mm-hmm. And Nolte is the
Shaq
coach.
Is gonna play on this team, Nolte.
I don't know.
They should have just called Nolte
Shaq's
Nolte
name
the whole movie.
Shaq's name was Leon in the movie.
Yeah.
And then I don't know who you had. You had Anthony Hardaway, Shaquille O'Neal, and I don't know who the other.
I think that's how I first found out about Shaq.
Through Blue Chips?
From watching a movie?
Yeah. I mean, I knew who he was.
You sure it wasn't Kazam, that great piece of art that Shaq also made?
Was that his rap album?
I think, no, he played like a 7'9" genie or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody in Hollywood thought that was a good idea.
There's a warehouse full of Kazam merchandise.
They shot
in Van Nuys.
They shot part of Blue Chips. You know, they shot the Anthony Hardaway's high school game scene. They shot at the Carmel Gym. Yeah, that's why one of the reasons I always love watching the movie. I'm like, oh, there's the old gym. Nice. Yeah. And Anthony's just dunking away in there. And
I was telling Patty before the show, speaking of athletes that we are fond of, our boy Conor McGregor was coming to Chicago on Friday.
Yep.
Canceled at the last minute.
Because he's meeting Shaq instead. Can't leave Ireland. Shaquille O'Neal, the other famous Irish American.
Yeah. Yep.
One of my favorite things about the NCAA when I look at it is this the story of McGuire University,
sure.
Which has never been made into a movie, which is shocking. I know that Disney optioned the rights to this story. For our radio listeners who don't know this story, McGuire University was founded by a bunch of guys in a tavern. Which bar was it, Bill? Do you remember? Was it McGuire's Bar?
I don't know. I thought it was the old Doc Ryan's.
No.
It was a bunch of Westsiders.
It was a bunch of guys on the West Side that I think it was the name of the bar was McGuire's. They started a fake university called McGuire University where they filed themselves with NCAA.
They were a group of old coaches.
They were coaches.
So they had connections to other collegiate coaches and new guys, but they wanted a reason to go down to the tournament and ham it up with their pals, and they wanted to be able to do it for free. So what they did is, they got some letterhead and they got everything legit, and I think they applied for some sort of accreditation from the NCAA. And
somehow they became an accredited university.
Yeah, or whatever, and they were granted.
A fake school.
And then they came up with an actual fake schedule.
A fake basketball schedule.
They were all forfeits.
But the team had played Duke and Kentucky and
all forfeit. I don't know. No,
they forfeited every game.
You know who would know a ton about this is Brian and Lenny Terrell.
Absolutely. We got to have them on at some point telling the story.
Their dad, Len Sr., was...
The late Len Sr.,
We lost him last year. One of the original guys at McGuire University, and they would probably have all kinds of stories. Because I remember
we got to go back to the idea of what it was. These guys create this university because they know that if you have a basketball team with a schedule, that you are allotted a certain amount of first-class tickets to the NCAA Finals, Final Four. You can go down to whatever event, you get an invite. So McGuire University would get invited to the Final Four or the Elite Eight every year.
Right.
And they would take it upon themselves to throw these giant after-hour parties with all the coaches. So all the coaches that were involved in the tournament would come and hang out at McGuire University, and it became a legendary thing. Amongst college basketball, that story about these guys from the West Side of Chicago who threw the best final, Elite Eight party every year, and it was the guys with a team of people that didn't exist.
Yeah, but
had lost to every team in that, every coach who's at the party. The McGuire University had lost a game to their team.
Right.
Forfeited a game.
I'd love to hear some. We got to ask Lenny Terrell.
So finally, the whistle was finally blown after how many years did they get away with it? Like 20 years.
Yeah, quite a while. I don't know how long. I think that the whistle was blown well over 10 years ago, but I don't know how long they had it going for. Probably around 20 years, I would say. Maybe a little longer. Who knows, man? Got to get the full history from Lenny Terrell. He'll be able to tell us all about that.
We should have thought of that.
I don't think you'd be able to get away with something like that today.
Not now,
the computer technology that exists.
We should have done it when you were 16. All you need is a storefront.
To do what? To have a fake school? You'd have a fake anything, right?
Address.
Yeah.
I'm starting a fake school, and all it is a baseball card trading forum.
What?
You start a storefront. You're like, we're an accredited after-school program.
What'd you do
I don't know. It makes no sense, but I think it's funny.
Did you guys get into the festivities at all. I had a birthday. That was kind of nice.
How was your birthday, guys?
Just did the
guys?
Birthday, man. Yeah, we went over to Pat and his wife hosted the rest of our family over at their house.
Very yeah, we nice. Had some, we had a pizza party.
I saw
with
a picture
cake.
Of some candles. And
yeah,
some...
I had some cake, some red velvet cheesecake, or I don't know, red velvet cake. I think I bought it. It's nice. Yep. And some Armand's pizza.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And then some McCann's Irish oatmeal.
Yeah, it was very good.
Topper.
Very good.
Yeah, it was nice. I didn't do much for St. Patrick's Day.
I had the pleasure of working on Saturday. You know what that means?
What do you mean by working? What were you doing?
I was working. I was doing my job, which requires me to be in my car all day.
Oh yeah,
requires me to drive around the city. Which requires me to drive through seas.
Oh man.
Green-shirted morons.
That was on you did this on Saturday?
Yeah.
So the past...
Last Saturday.
Parade day of downtown, that's when you had the lucky job of driving around Chicago all day. Did you see any wild stuff?
No, just a lot of, like, green antennas with shamrocks on.
Man. You know what I always love to read after that?
The police blotter?
The police blotter is amazing. Like, the Wrigleyville one?
It's sad but true.
Like all the fights that they have are just like guy knocked out unconscious on corner of Cornelia, and so you know. It's
my
like,
favorite one was guy sleeping on running motorcycle in an alley.
I saw that. Yeah.
Saw one where a roommate claims that his roommate came home and started punching him in the face at 3 o'clock in the morning and then fled the scene. So like went in this kid's room while he was sleeping.
I read that. Yeah, he's like,
and
my roommate just beat me up.
There was like. Men fighting women. I saw one of those. Women fighting other women.
I saw a woman fighting a cab driver was one of the...
Lots of vomit in cabs. And then the other one, what was the really good one that
one
I saw?
One was the guy's credit card terminal got destroyed. And all I was thinking about is because I'm in the processing business was like, who is that guy? I'll give him the terminal.
Think about the first-time Uber drivers who were picking up people. And with the throw-up, they got in the fights and the language. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Well, the other one was that I saw is... they had like all these fights at McDonald's and Taco Bell in Wrigleyville. It's like it must have been like the men. It was like, oh, we can't fight in front of this bar. Meet you at Taco Bell in like 10 minutes.
No, it's
or
they
were just
hammered.
Yeah, they were
like,
just
"Where's my Big Mac?"
No, I think what it was is that people would get in confrontations with other people at bars, and then
that's
they would
a Big Mac attack.
It would be hours later, and they'd run into each other again,
and then they get locked up.
And then it was throw some punches. Yeah.
Now, if they had all just woken up that morning and had themselves some McCann's Irish oatmeal. They
stuff
would not be
happened.
In that case. They wouldn't be in that state now, would they?
I guess not.
Let's take a quick break. Show sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Be back after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years, and they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Yeah, we're back. 12:40 a.m. Hooli's Hooli WSBC. 12:40 a.m.
Yeah.
Tell Tom Gorman your story. You got injured over to St. Paddy's Day weekend.
He'll help you out.
He'll help you out.
Yep.
Did you guys watch any of the I went to the Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Oh yeah, the St. Patrick's
Day party? Party the day before the parade.
Very nice.
Nice afternoon, you know. And ran into Ronald Marasso.
Oh yeah, the doctor. Sure.
And we hung around there for quite a bit, and then we went over to see Dad's show, the Hoolies Hoolie at Lizzie McNeil's.
Oh, you went over there. You and Ronnie went over there.
We did.
Nice.
It's a fun day. I didn't see, like, I guess I got there a little late, but normally I remember that it's a big Politico day. Everybody goes by Plumber's Hall and shakes the hands. And,
mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things to kind of look at was when you get there, you have to be invited, right? So
sure.
Dick Quigley, who's throws the party now for Blue Cross Blue Shield,
yeah.
He was nice enough to put a name tag out for me, but then there's this table of name tags, and you see all the names. Like, if the name tag's not taken, it means they're not there.
Right.
So, like, you see, like, Chewy Garcia, no show. Cullerton, no show. Madigan, not no show. But when everybody walks up to the table, nobody just grabs their name tag and, like, walks off. Everybody grabs their name tag and then surveys the table to see who might not be there or who's there.
Who's
they're trying to deduct to brace themselves before they walk in the door.
Sure.
I'm sure they're rehearsing in the car, what they're going to say.
Yeah.
Complete networking.
Well, but it was crazy. It was like the big buzz that day was like, Trump's in town, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then kaboom. Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. That happened.
You didn't see that coming.
I got a phone call from one of my buddies on my way home from work. He's like, stay out of, like,
I didn't anywhere see
near,
I didn't
anywhere
see
near
that
UIC. He's like, don't drive over there. The traffic's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? It's going to be that big? I did not anticipate it getting as big as it was over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like a riot was about to ensue.
Yeah,
they showed up.
They did, man. Yeah.
Have you watched any of the footage of people just getting after
I watched
each other?
It live.
Yeah, it's
it was nuts.
It is nuts. It's a sad state of affairs, to tell you the truth.
Dave Cazzolo coming to Duffy's on Friday night, and he came in probably at like, oh gosh, it had to have been like 9:30.
Hi, Dave.
And I haven't seen, I hadn't seen Dave in probably, it had been at least 8 months, you know? And he's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, how you doing? And he's like, oh, I figured maybe my brother or, he's like, I figured your brother or maybe, you know, my cousin Matt would be up here. That'd be Matt Murray. And I was like,
right.
I was like, no, I don't know. I'm like, I think Matt might be down in Florida. I think Pat's probably at home with his kids. And he's like, oh, I was like, where are you coming from? He's like, oh, I just was, you know, went down to check out that Trump rally.
Yeah, he like, why? And he was like, look what they're doing.
And
I'm
like,
driving down there. I gotta
like,
see
did
this.
You, I was like, did you like go inside? He's like, no, I just wanted to like peruse the scene outside. And I was like, yes, you would, Dave.
Travis Bickle in action right there.
That's what you do.
But he said it was pretty unbelievable just to watch. He's like, either sides of people weren't making any sense. It was just screaming matches after a while. It got pretty ridiculous.
It was. I was saying at the top of the show to Mike before we got on the air, our engineer, Mike, shout out to you, how close these races are.
Yeah.
One thing has become certain is that regardless of either party or whoever gets nominated,
yeah,
only half the people liked that person, really. You know?
Yeah.
Only a little more than half.
I will say what was pretty significant, and I think that even people at the Board of Elections were a bit shocked by it. Well, I don't know if they were shocked by it, but, you know, last night when I was watching, well, obviously we're taping here, it's Wednesday night, so last night was Tuesday, election night here in Chicago, but I would, you know, I was watching the returns, and I think it was GN I was watching, somebody was doing an interview, and they were interviewing someone from the Board of Elections, and they said, what is the estimate? I mean, from right now, what they were hearing was that they think the estimated turnout was at almost like, you know, between 45% and 50%. And then they asked the woman, and she said, I think by the end of the night, we're going to be at like 48.7% to 50%. And when you think about that in the city of Chicago and Cook County, 50% voting shows up. What happened in the mayoral election this year when there was 30% votes? It's like, come
it's
on.
Too cold.
Well, here's what I'm like. You know, I guess and now we can attribute, obviously, what had happened.
I think
know,
younger people vote for the president.
Well, I think I think that
there's
plays into a factor.
There's also people that didn't get off their couch.
Well, yeah.
But I also think that there's kind of people that are upset. You know, they had the Anita Alvarez.
Hey, who
are
you voting for? I'm not going to vote, but I really want that dude to win, man.
Yeah. And I'll be mad if he doesn't.
I'm going to be real mad if he doesn't win.
And that other guy wins, whatever
his
name is.
People are ready for lots of changes within the Illinois government, and we saw some of it on display last night. And I think we're going to see some more of it in a couple of years. I think it's the beginning.
Yeah, start by getting rid of Rauner and start by getting rid of Rahm.
Well, the thing that has really come to play is just the anger. You know, everybody's like, it. You know, somebody wins and everyone's like, ah, we won. Yeah, we won. You know, like do a jig on the guy's grave now that he lost.
Yeah.
And we are a separated country, truly separated at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think that your attitude is proper for this discussion.
You can think what you want, Bernie. But here's what I want to do, and I want to play this song. It's by one of my favorite British rock groups, The Kinks, because people think I'm kinky. And I'll tell you what, baby, I am kinky. I'm going to be kinky, and I'm going to kick ass the entire time. This is Living on a Thin Line.
Living on a thin line, huh?
Love that jam.
The world is living on a thin line these days.
Yeah, that's why I played it. Yeah. Let's go to a commercial break. We'll be back after these short messages.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in four states. The Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oaklawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oaklawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to EdNapletonHonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oaklawn at 888-809-7851 or online at EdNapletonHonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oaklawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJules. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage. Sorry, we don't serve weenies.
Oh, they don't. They don't serve weenies.
No.
This is the Hooli's Hooli. We're back. 1240 AM WSBC. Yeah. Bill, you know what movie is turning 30 years old this year? I want to bring it up because now spring is upon us.
I saw this in the paper the other day.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off is 30 years old.
Yeah.
Sad.
Wow. 30 years old. The iconic Ditch Day movie. And they're going to be having an anniversary party of sorts. Have you heard about this, Bill?
No.
It's called Ferris Fest.
Nice.
Much like they do this with the Big Lebowski as well. When movies become very culty, they have festivals around the movie. But there's going to be a festival marking the 30th anniversary of the release of the 80s favorite. And it's scheduled for May 20th through the 22nd in and about around the Chicago area.
Okay, cool.
The 1986 John Hughes Irish-American film stars Broderick as a charming.
You're from Boston.
We're from Boston now. Broderick played a charming, resourceful high school student who skips school to lead his girlfriend and his reluctant best friend on a lively tour of the Windy City.
And they go to a Red Sox game, I'm pretty sure.
They do not. Oh, no, I'm doing Bernie Sanders.
They do not go to any baseball games at all.
And they should be in free school.
They should be in school with everybody else.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not playing hooky around the city.
In the film, the trio hit up the Art Institute of Chicago, Wrigley Field, Willis Tower, then known as the Sears Tower.
Yep.
And on May 21st, so there's like a bus tour that'll take you around and show you those spots. And then they're going to show the movie, screen it May 21st at the John and Nancy Hughes Theater in Lake Forest, Illinois as part of the fest.
Sweet.
Richard Roper.
Yep. Ricky.
Ricky Roper. Hey, Ricky.
Ricky the Rope.
He's going to MC the event, and it'll include a Q&A with Ferris Bueller's parents, actress Cindy Pickett, and the dad, Lyman Ward.
Is Broderick just showing up or not?
No, Broderick.
Of course not.
What about the jerk.
Oh, and the French restaurant maitre d', Jonathan Schmuck. His name is Schmuck.
Yeah. What about the guy that says...
the Sausage King of Chicago.
That guy's great.
Yeah, he is.
What about the guy that says...
Run along now, little boys. Nobody says something like that.
He's got that little mustache.
What country do you think this is?
Oh, the mechanic.
Oh, yeah, that's...
the car park guy.
Yeah, that's Richard Edson.
He goes, hey, I'm going to go slip the guy a
What about Cameron? Is Cameron going to be there?
What country do you think this is?
What is that actor's name?
See, now we're doing lines from it. We already know, you know?
Well, it's fantastic.
Yeah. It is pretty fantastic.
It's great.
When I was growing up, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
When you saw it for the first time, you're like, this is great.
Yeah, and I remember my dad hated that. He goes, that kid's a pimp. I can't stand that movie.
Which maybe Ferris like is more.
A that's a compliment now.
Yeah. Right. You, like Ferris Bueller actually got parents to actually hate him. It's not like it's a real guy. But anywhere. Then so they built a replica of Ferris Bueller's bedroom that people are gonna go and like chill out.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Will the Ferrari be on display?
I don't know. Your mom used to tell me that I reminded her of Cameron.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can that be?
Did you own a? Hilarious. Did you own a Detroit Red Wings jersey?
What does he start saying when he starts kicking
I'll
the
go,
Ferrari?
I'll go. He's gonna keep calling me.
Yeah, that's it.
That's my favorite.
He can't.
He's my favorite guy in the whole movie.
My favorite line in that movie is when Jeff Jones's character.
That car scene is my favorite scene in the whole movie.
When Jeff Jones walks up to the
where he has a meltdown because he basically hates his dad.
When he's in the arc.
He's sick and he doesn't want to leave his house.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like when Jeff Jones is in the arcade and he goes up to he taps a chick on the shoulder and takes his Ferris and she like turns around and she's like, "Your ass is mine." And he pours the Coke over his head and then he turns to the guy at the counter and he goes, What's the score? And the guy goes, Nothing. And he goes, Who's it's a winning? Cubs game. And he goes, The Bears.
Yeah. It was Ed Rooney. Ed Rooney got in some hot water.
There were some good lines in that movie.
There is. That's arguably, I think, as I hope far as Chicago movies go, I think that's probably, that's right up there with the Blues Brothers for iconic Chicago
it's gotta
films.
It's got to be one and two, I
right?
think,
right? Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, yeah.
No, it doesn't even touch
Home
it.
Home Alone.
God, I was watching Macaulay Culkin. I can't get him out of my head for some reason.
We talked about
just
him last
just
week.
Get him out.
I know. He keeps creeping into my brain. Because I was trying to think of songs to come up with... to play for the show, you know?
Right.
Does he have a band or something?
I don't know. I was thinking, like, what could, like... I thought it was funny that... What if Trump adopted as, like, his campaign theme song?
Yeah.
He bought the rights to Michael Jackson's Black or White.
Oh, man.
I can see...
Where the people are morphing into each other's faces, remember?
Yeah.
So I went back and I watched the video, and boom, there's Macaulay Culkin at the top of the video.
Yeah.
And George Wendt. Shout out to George Wendt.
Yeah, he's in that video.
Yeah. Wendt plays the dad. He's like, shut up.
Yeah, they play the music too loud.
I can see Trump having Culkin endorse him. Be like, he's a star in the 90s. Everybody loved this little kid.
Also known as Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
You remember that movie?
Would be,
that
would
a great
be the
movie?
Most frightening. Macaulay Culkin's probably the furthest thing from a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
But,
oh, no.
If he was, boy, the worm had turned in Hollywood, huh?
I think Macaulay's probably a Sanders guy.
Who knows what Macaulay
that
is.
That movie was hilarious. I love Joe Pesci.
Oh, you're talking about Home Alone. Yeah. They're talking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off. No. I was like, Pesci was in that?
No.
Pesci. It'd be great if they just brought for Ferris Bueller's Day Off Festival.
Joe Pesci.
Pesci. They're like, yeah, Pesci was in the movie. He was?
And people ask him questions. He's like, I don't know. I wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite? Did you ever ditch school, Clay?
Yeah.
What's your favorite ditch day memory? Because it's spring now, and this is when everybody gets what is called senioritis.
We like to,
we like
to go to the woods. We were woodsmen. So we would go to the woods and drink.
Yeah, we didn't go to museums.
We made bonfires and would like cook eggs and stuff.
That was the one thing I always noticed about Bueller. Had a hell of a budget for that day off.
Yeah,
he did. Like, he went to the Shea Paul. He had lunch at the Shea Paul.
He's a suburban kid.
A little bit more than that.
He had a credit card in his wallet.
He must have had an abusing credit.
Well, I think that,
amazing.
I don't know.
Card.
So I think it depends. Like the ditch days, though, for like kids
club.
For kids who went to school down in the city. So like if you went to Ignatius, or like we were down in Mount Carmel, or like you know kids down in like Lincoln Park. Like say if you went to Latin or like
you know
Francis Parker or any of those city schools, they probably had some pretty elaborate ditch days. Because there's compared to like a suburb kid. I mean, but I think that's what made Ferris Bueller's unique. It was a suburban kid. Going down to the city.
Maybe if the schools brought you to the museums, you wouldn't have to skip school and go do it yourself.
Yeah. I don't know. That was for cinema stuff. They go to museums all the time. Right, Bernie?
Yes, they do.
I wanted to play
what was the parade going on, by the way, in that movie, though?
Good question. It's
you don't know if it's the Columbus Day Parade?
I think it's Pulaski.
Oh,
yeah,
it's the Pulaski. Oh, there we go. Pulaski Day. We just had, was that March 5th?
Yeah, because he's with the... The girls who are dressed in Polish gear.
Speaking of...
Or is that German gear?
Speaking of Polish Americans, German.
Polish.
German girls, Polish
German.
I don't know. The Bavarian sort of theme.
What? The annual Bavarian Day
Parade.
It
was a Trump parade, according to everybody now.
That was pre-Trump shot.
That was Trump's parade.
We were at... we bartended a Polish wedding this past weekend.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was actually... Man, can they drink?
Yeah. Vodka.
Vodka, man.
Any headbutting or fist
fights? No, very, very, very good people. Nice tippers. Great tippers. And
a lot of beautiful women, I'm sure.
There were, but the one, the funny thing I noticed,
like that, like the scene of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, all those hot babes.
The one thing, I saw the weirdest thing, and it must be a custom at Polish Weddings. They put like a meat platter out for dessert.
Yeah, they put sausage out. It
yeah,
great.
So like when dessert, like you get eat,
I didn't
eat
think it
cake,
was that. I don't know why you,
you
think that's
eat
weird.
Cake, and all of a sudden
weird.
I was like, what is that? And they're like, we're putting meat out. And I was like, there's just going to be cold meat everywhere for the rest
cold
of the night.
Cold cuts.
Fine.
It's kind of, I mean, the custom was kind of cool, but I had never seen that before at a wedding.
Yeah, so, well, these people are sophisticated. Normally you get people are like, we got McDonald's.
So Clay, so Clay, when you're on, you know, the north side, obviously, in your neighborhood, and you see, you know, a Polish American, say, hey, what's the deal with the cold cuts
what's
at
the
wedding?
Meat? Yeah,
can,
and I'll get head-butted.
Can you fill me in on that?
My
wife, actually, my wife is blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extremely beautiful woman. And she, while she's at the malls up on the northwest side,
they
people walk
Polish.
Up to her and just start speaking Polish.
I love it.
She's like, I'm from Medicine Park.
You look authentic.
Thank you for approaching me in the hip and speaking Polish to me.
What did you say? You look authentic?
You look authentic.
You look like you're from Warsaw.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not.
Ferris Bueller's girlfriend was real hot in that movie.
Yeah, whatever happened to her? She
Mia
only did the one,
Sarah.
That one flick.
She did a flick. No, she did Sorcerer, I believe she was in, with Cruz. That's a Billy Friedkin film, but
jeez.
That's about it.
Only
you, know?
You have seen that
was
movie.
That before Cruz was into Scientology?
Oh, yeah, way before.
He was into Sorcery.
Yeah.
Sorcery.
But I found a song. This is a deep cut from the Ferris Bueller's Day Off soundtrack.
Oh,
this,
boy.
This is like the love theme. This is like the song where Ferris decides that he's in love with Sloane Peterson. This is called The Edge of Forever by the Dream Academy.
I said
Sloan.
Sloan, I love
Sloan.
You.
Sloan.
Sloan Peterson.
He's running through backyards.
That's right. That is the Dream Academy. The Edge of Forever is the name of that song. John Hughes put some interesting music. I think played a big role in all of his films. Doesn't get spoken of very much, but I think it's right on par with how Scorsese used film in music as well, except that he was kind of using like new wave stuff.
Yeah.
All things you love.
Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh.
See? Little
There's some
Simple
more
Minds.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got all the Pretty in Pink stuff. What was OMD did the music for Pretty in Pink, I think. And
did he use any Tangerine Dream in any of his movies? I don't think so.
No, but they were of that world. That was Risky Business, Paul Brickman.
Yeah.
These are Risky Business, another iconic Chicago film about a teenager.
That was my movie as I got older. I was like, yeah, forget Ferris. I'm all about Risky Business.
You're all about just a senior in high school getting a hooker for the weekend.
learning about free enterprise and how the real world
Enough
really
about
works.
Dating and going to Cubs games.
Yeah. Taking
this
cabs
kid's stealing
everywhere.
Porches and getting hookers.
Yeah, yep. let's hear about free enterprise and how the real world works.
They remade Risky Business like a couple years ago with Emil Hirsch.
Did they really? No.
Yeah, no. It's called.
It's where.
Except he gets porno actresses instead of like brothel girls or something.
Oh, what is the name of that movie?
The Hot Chicks or.
Must have been awesome.
No, it actually is a good movie. I've seen it.
It was a good movie. Ooh, who's boy? Who's, Rotten Tomatoes. We gotta look that up.
Who's the blonde chick in that? She plays the love interest.
Rebecca De Mornay.
No, that would be.
That's the hand that rocks the cradle.
No, she's also in Risky Business.
Peyton in the hand that rocks the cradle. That's her name.
Yep.
Yeah. Rebecca De Mornay.
Rebecca De Mornay.
What is that from?
Where Seinfeld, where she's the very heavy set African American woman turns to Costanza and he goes, "What's your name?" And she goes, "Rebecca De Mornay."
Strange.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Rebecca De Mornay.
She fell off the face of the earth, too.
Business.
Her and Sloan are hanging out.
No, she's in Wedding Crashers. She's right at the top of the scene as Dwight Yoakam's ex-wife. They're fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is her. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to IMDb what that movie is right now because it's going.
Well, you mentioned Tangerine Dream. Tangerine Dream did do the soundtrack to Sorcerer, another Mia Sara film that we referenced earlier.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, Tangerine Dream did that. The whole scene, Clay, we used to listen to the Risky Business soundtrack at bedtime.
Weird.
Which is very creepy.
It's called The Girl Next Door in 2004.
Yeah. With Emil Hirsch and Timothy Oliphant, I believe, plays like the
Timothy
evil,
Oliphant. Alicia Kubright, right? That was
He
her,
plays
yeah.
the Joe Pantoliano part, essentially, which is Guido, the killer pimp.
Yep. Yep, that's about it out of the celebrity names that anybody might recognize.
I heard they're discontinuing the, greatest old man in the world.
The Jose Cuervo guy? Dos Equis guy. Yeah, the most interesting man in the world has now been discontinued.
Yeah, he's gone.
It's played out, I guess.
I don't know. They got to come up with something
Hopefully
new.
Hopefully progressive insurance follows
That's
suit.
Like, so for an actor like that guy, that's like the worst news he's ever heard. It's like, you had a good run.
Yeah, but he'll
back. Be. To wherever you came from now.
You know what you could do? You could, and now you
back
have
to auditions, buddy.
You could just.
Well, I'm sure that guy's got from the residual dough that he's made off those spots running over and over. I'm sure he's fine. I'll never.
You could do a twist on it, though. You could start a new ad campaign and it'd be like, he is the funniest man in the world. And like he just says like two words out of his mouth and people start
funniest?
Like kicking the ground and howling and
no,
laughing.
No, he's the least
like,
interesting man in the world. And he's the same guy that sits in a lawn chair all day.
People throw things out.
Yeah, but you wouldn't sell any beer that way.
People are going to buy beer no matter what.
Let me tell you, man. They're always going to drink.
I got the Southern guy in.
Yeah, there he is. We have to always have a show where a Southern person makes an appearance.
Bernie, how do you feel about Southerners? You don't think they smell or anything, do you?
Some of them, their hygiene is not where it could be.
Right.
My goal is to explain to them that it doesn't matter if you're in the old country with no snakes or the city of big shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world full of terrible smells like skunks and sports gear, baby diapers, cigarette smoke, which is terrible. Cigarettes are terrible for you, period. Unshowered CTA riders or whatever metro rail system you might be near, and worse. So when the stink gets too strong, turn to the power of Fresh Wave Natural Odor Eliminators. Fresh Wave products eliminate odors without the use of toxic chemicals or masking fragrances or billionaire corporations, which produce both. Inside, you'll find just plant oils and water, clean water, naturally destroying bad smells at a molecular level. Fresh Wave is safe to use anytime, anywhere, on any odor imaginable. So ditch those air fresheners full of harsh ingredients and phony floral smells. Choose natural odor eliminators from Fresh Wave. Available at Bed Bath & Beyond, a fine store. Ace Hardware. I love getting screws and bolts from there. Whole Foods, never been, and the Container Store. To learn more about Fresh Wave and to find your nearest Fresh Wave retailer, visit FreshWaveWorks.com today, and also visit BernieSanders.com as well.
Well, thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, Bernie.
Wow. Fresh Wave,
Bernie,
man.
For Fresh Wave.
Hey. Yeah. All right, man. Get yourself some Fresh Wave.
That's right.
Deodorize this place.
If the world starts, the world is too stinky, you know? You could cure the world with a little Fresh Wave. I think Bernie's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a, we all need a little Fresh Wave.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick commercial. We'll be back right after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Come into my office, Mr. Finnegan. How can I help you?
Doctor, you gotta help me. I'm having panic attacks, terrible anxiety.
You just need some hooliganism.
Hooliganism? What is that, some new medicine?
It's an elixir for what ails you, Mr. Finnegan.
Is it a pill? Do you swallow it?
It'll relax you. Rick Hogan of WGN says it oozes Chicago. He also says it's fantastic.
Well, what the heck is it?
It's the new book by Mike Houlihan. Everyone's talking about it. Frank West of the Irish American News says it's filled with human warmth and you should read it when you need a good laugh.
Hooliganism, the book. Hey, my wife said you were a doctor.
I am a doctor, and hooliganism is my prescription. The New World said Southsiders would rank it up with the Book of Kells.
What about my irregularity?
Read Hooliganism. You'll find it very moving.
Hey, you're not a doctor.
I'm a psychiatrist, Mr. Finnegan, and I can tell what you need is a nice dose of hooliganism.
But my wife said you had her undress and you examined her.
Yes, she appears to be very healthy, Mr. Finnegan. Oh, nurse...
Hooliganism is the new book by Mike Houlihan. You can purchase it online at www.mikehoolihan.com or at any of Chicago's finer Irish gift shops.
Nurse, will the doctor be giving me a prescription for hooliganism?
Do you have insurance, Mr. Finnegan?
I've been hooliganed.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in four states. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn, reaching out to our Irish American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to EdNapletonHonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn at 888-809-7851 or online at EdNapletonHonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oak Lawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
Yeah, Napleton. Go see Ed.
Get a Honda. Car. Get a Honda Civic. Yeah. I've done that. I've been there, done that.
Eddie Hightops.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Great stuff.
They'll take care of you.
That was pretty good stuff, having Bernie Sanders read that.
I love
for
him.
Having the Fresh Wave.
He's a great guy.
It's always good to have him and Donald yell at each other for a little bit. It's quite amusing for the two of us. baseball, man. Adam LaRoche. Mm-hmm. Did you hear this?
No.
Yeah, this is a weird story.
It is kind of a weird story. I don't know. I mean... So Adam LaRoche obviously was signed to a 2-year deal last year with the White Sox. I think it was like for $26 million, maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
His career average was before last season. He was a left-handed power bat in the National League. Hit you for .290 just about every year with about 26 homers average. All right,
he's going on his 10th or 12th.
Yeah, he's 36 years old, so I think this is his 13th season. That's what they said.
He's been a bust.
Last year was a bust, okay? Mm-hmm. But apparently what Adam LaRoche is, you know, he grew up in a baseball family. His dad was a professional ball leaguer, you know, baseball player.
A ball leaguer.
Big leaguer. and then
my dad was a ball leaguer, too.
Yeah. And then
my father did not approve of baseball.
He never played with his balls. That's part of the problem.
All right. There we go. Enough. So anyways, Adam LaRoche's uncle was also a professional baseball player, and he has this custom that, you know, every time he goes to the ballpark or during spring training, he brings his son with him. And his son shags fly balls or, you know, hits the fungo bat down the line for, you know, yeah, grounders to guys or whatever. Well, apparently Kenny Williams has had enough. Not like in a bad way, but he, you know, had it relayed to Adam LaRoche that, look, you know, we'd like you to, you know, have your son. He can't be here every day anymore. We're trying to focus on, as a team and
during
as a clubhouse.
Training?
Yeah, he goes, I need total focus from this team to improve on getting better every day. And I can't have, you know, your son here every day. Now,
how old is LaRoche's
kid? I think
kid?
He's probably like 10 or 11.
19.
That's interesting because Kenny Williams had his kids doing
well,
the same thing.
Well, hold on a second.
Sure, Isaac Guillen had his kids.
Yeah, well,
too.
Here's the thing, you know, and Michael.
When you're not winning ball games, and people get a little.
Yeah.
Michael peeved. Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser are part of the interruption on ESPN.
Maybe the kids
were
like Dennis the Menace.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kornheiser asked Wilbon what he felt, and I kind of agree with Michael Wilbon to a certain extent. It's okay every now and then to bring your kid to work, but you also have to remember that these guys are getting paid astronomical amounts of money by these organizations to maintain a level of professionalism and to, you know, they're supposed to be concentrating on work, which obviously we consider a game. But in their minds, they felt, you know, we're paying this guy. This kid isn't being paid here. He can't be here. Not that he's going to be a detriment to the team, but a detriment to maybe the focus of the whole organization, okay? Adam LaRoche felt differently, and for that he said, well, you know, then I'm going to retire. If you don't want my kids here, it's time for me to step back. Now, he's been given 2 days to ponder this thought.
Yeah.
And it's made, you know, now it's kind of an uproar on social media. Guys like Kyle Long, who obviously grew up with his father in the NFL, being Howie Long, and his brother Chris, being also another professional football player. You know, he wrote on Twitter that he grew up in locker rooms, and then you had some of the other players like Bryce Harper, who, you know, plays for the Washington Nationals, LaRoche's old team, you know, he was supporting him as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the funny thing. You know, Wilbon was, you know, defending the White Sox organization's feelings upon this, and Kornheiser made a very, very, very valid point.
This is showbiz.
He said, I'll tell you what, he goes, if LaRoche hit 35 home runs last year and batted .296, this would not be an issue at all.
Right. No, not at all.
So he seems to think now, I don't know what's going on with, you know, it's behind closed walls. Some of, you know, everybody can be sneaky in professional sports, as in all big,
I'm sure
Clayton
Kershaw can bring his kid to the field
whenever
he wants.
I think what it boils down to is maybe
his name's Clayton.
And I hate to say this because I'm a diehard Sox fan,
yeah,
but part of me feels like this was a way of the organization being
getting rid of LaRoche
and freeing up, because if he opts out and says he's going to retire, he doesn't get to keep the $13 million that he's supposed to receive this year. The White Sox can take that money and sign a different free agent. And my belief is they don't want Adam LaRoche. They're going to let him walk away from this deal, void the contract so that he can sign with somebody else, and they're going to go out and sign Justin Morneau for like $10 or $11 million to be
also,
their backup.
But you're forgetting that you don't know this kid, you know? And I have kids, we know that they'll smile at you 1 second, and then they'll kick you right
in
the
shins. Well, that's what I'm just saying.
He could be a problem child.
I don't know. Who knows? We don't know. He could be a little brat, you know? I'm just reporting what I've read in the national media. So
I can't imagine the guys in the dugout going, no, I'm having a great time here. LaRoche brought his kid.
His kid doing here?
Yeah. Hey, your kid is in the dugout, LaRoche. He ate all the sunflower seeds again.
I can't find my skull. Where's your kid?
Or there's like a bunch of Spanish guys talking in Spanish about what a jerk the kid is.
Well, that was the thing where Isaac Guillen's son was the translator for the team.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is funny. We're like,
but he was actually getting paid by the Sox, I believe.
Isaac Guillen's excuse to have his kid around the whole time.
I know, but I was just picturing like Frank Thomas in the dugout and like a bunch of guys speaking Spanish and Frank Thomas turning to like an 8-year-old kid and he's like, what are they saying over there, man?
You're saying it's time
you
for
said
you to
that
retire,
he
Frank.
They like your haircut, Frank.
I didn't.
Say thank you for me.
I didn't know that Frank Thomas sounded like this.
Sounded like Ray Romano.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Frank Thomas sounds like Ray Romano.
Ray Romano.
That's pretty good, Ray Romano. I was
Ray Romano and Kermit the Frog.
Yeah,
very similar.
Yeah,
pretty close.
Kermit the Frog.
That's a good Kermit.
That was good.
The King of the Hill guy keeps coming out. That boy ain't right.
You can't stop, huh?
No, I can't. It's because earlier
he appears in political campaigns and in Major League Dugouts. It doesn't matter.
He's there. And I've been working on a Blake Shelton impression.
Yeah, what was the whole thing?
Let's do a Blake Shelton Bernie Sanders conversation.
Wait a minute. We were having a thing.
I've never heard any of your songs.
That's okay. I haven't heard many of mine either. I'm on a TV show called The Voice.
Every American needs a voice.
I would agree, Bernie. What's your favorite kind of music? This is horrible.
Yeah, you need to work on it, man.
I don't know. What's your favorite kind of music? Bail on bit. Bail. Leave bit.
I am a huge fan of East Coast rap. I love
Biggie
Smalls, the Beastie Boys. I like Gangsta.
I like Gangsta.
A lot of underground stuff you've probably never heard.
Yeah. He's a big Cool Moe Dee fan.
Love the Moe Dee man. Big Daddy Kane.
License to Ill is where it's at right there.
I love License to Ill.
It is a good album.
It's fantastic.
Give up the...
working on it. Don't give up.
I've been watching that silly TV show, The Voice, all the time. It's in my house.
Why?
I thought the show just ended.
Listen.
There's two seasons a year.
This
is
the way I feel about The Voice. Would Bob Dylan have won The Voice?
No.
Would Kurt Cobain have won The Voice?
No.
Would Mick Jagger have won The Voice? Probably not.
No.
Would Billy Corgan have won The Voice?
No, he would have been laughed off The Voice. And those guys are the most brilliant people around. So, you know, Adam Levine.
They're the most brilliant people around. Yeah.
Even though some of them are dead.
Yeah. Bernie, is Mick Jagger the most brilliant man you've ever met?
I love Jumping Jack Flash. It really gets me.
Thank you, Bernie.
Bernie, thank you.
Thank you. I'll be appearing in Free Jack. Jagger made two movies, Free Jack and Ned Kelly.
No, The Man from Elysian Fields.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Ooh, I actually saw that on behalf of him being in it, and I was like,
Andy Garcia plays a male
it's so
hooker.
Bad.
Jiggle or whatever.
It's not worth
so does
watching.
Jagger. I sleep with women for money.
Yeah, but Jagger looks ill in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like he's going to fall over.
So Blake Shelton, you're just not a fan of his, or you just want to do an imitation of him?
I don't like Blake
Shelton.
I
like him on The Voice. He's kind of animated. And yeah. I like Gwen Stefani.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's like his now girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll leave my wife. I'll just date whoever I want.
Well, no, he just went through a very public divorce.
Well, now that I'm in Hollywood, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm a sweetheart.
I guess his ex-wife left him for somebody else.
That happens in country land.
It does.
And then he lost like 30 pounds. Have you seen that stuff on Facebook?
You write songs about it.
Look how Blake Shelton lost 30 pounds. And then you click it. It's like the new Aussie berry.
Aussie berry. I lost all this weight eating Aussie berries.
Oh, hey, don't forget to tune into The Crack with Cooney and Keen after this show.
We are wrapping up the show here.
That's with Gene Cooney and Kathleen Keen every Thursday at the Irish American Heritage Center and broadcasting right now after this program on Saturday nights. You can check The Crack out at 7 o'clock and then the session afterwards. It's right there in the Fifth Province Bar. And go over there and say hello. Tell them you were sent by the Hooli's Hooli.
I'd like to just mention something here.
Yeah.
We lost a good friend, John McShane, a year ago.
We did.
Yes.
You know, it really hasn't been the same without him.
Just wanted to say
that we are always thinking of the McShane family and all of John's family and friends and everyone he touched throughout his life. He was a great guy, and he would have been a huge fan of this show.
Oh, he already was when he was, you know, I remember him coming up to me and saying, oh, man, I listened to the show. It was so great. And when we broadcasted on the night, that night, that was... one of the hardest broadcasts I've ever had to do. So God rest you, Johnny, thinking of you.
Johnny, we miss you. Until next week, this has been the Hooli's Hooli. See ya. Bye.